Croeso I Amplify. Welcome to Amplify, stories about youth music in Wales. Straeon am gerddoriaeth ieuenctid yng Nghymru.
Hello, Croeso and welcome. My name is Connor Morgans and this is the Amplify Podcast. In this three-part series, I'm going to be talking to a variety of people from across the Welsh music industry and understand whether they think you have to move to London to be successful. After recently moving back home to Wales after a short stint in London, I'm incredibly passionate to talk about my opinions on the matter, but want to open the forum to talented creatives across Wales. In this episode, I'm going to be talking to three very talented singers and hear their diverse and varied opinions on the matter. I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hiya, I'm Izzy. I am from Machynlleth in Mid Wales and I now live in London. I have a kind of Jekyll and Hyde existence where I have like a music career in the Welsh language in Wales and then I work as a director in London and I never gig in London. So I feel like I live like two different lives in different countries, basically.
Oh,
so,
love it.
That's me.
Fantastic. Oh, brilliant. Thank you. And how about you, Caitlin?
Yes. So I moved to London to study at Rose Bruford on the acting musician course 5 years ago now, I think. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, who's counting COVID, right? And then I graduated in 2020, which was shocking, and then moved home. And then was like, oh my God, no, I need to be in London. I have to be in London to be successful. I moved back to London in the pandemic for 2 years and then had a gutsful and moved back last February to stay with my parents in South Wales again. And then since doing that, I haven't stopped working regionally in Wales and in England, but not London. So it's all very confusing at the moment. But yeah, that's me, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Magnificent. And finally, but by no means least, Fionn, or as I know, Foxglove. Hiya.
Hiya, UK. I'm Fionn. I'm an artist, singer-songwriter known as Foxglove. I've been active in the music scene for about 5 years now, but I studied music in Cardiff for... Well, I did that for 5 years, and then the last 5 years I've been doing music. I grew up in the Valleys in Rhondda, and then I moved to Cardiff when I was 16. Like I said, to study. I thought about moving to London. Funnily enough, when I actually applied to universities, I didn't even apply to Cardiff at all. I applied like everywhere else. And then I was like, I'm too afraid to leave. So I decided to stay, which I'm really glad that I did because I don't regret staying at all. And also I kind of just wanted to get myself known in this area as well. Like I also speak Welsh and I have done like collaborative tracks in the Welsh language and so I just wanted to feel more comfortable in this area. And I sometimes still think like, do I just move to London like or whatever, but I'm pretty content in Cardiff at the moment, so yeah, that's me.
I love it. Oh, amazing. Well, guys, as I said, all really, really, you know, different kind of backgrounds and avenues and approaches to it, but all thoroughly interesting. Thank you. So we've got no kind of set structure. I'm just going to kind of see where it takes us. But the thing that I'm first kind of like curious about is that, of course, we've all kind of had runnings in or experiences with London. But the one thing for me that I want to start off is kind of pro Wales, as it were. What kind of makes it possibly difficult to move out, or what makes you not want to move out? Because the initial kind of, you know, obvious thing is that London has more opportunities, has better infrastructure. But what keeps you here? I mean, I'm obviously, you know, I'm back in Wales now. I love it. But for you guys, what keeps you here? I'm not sure who's got a real kind of rich answer there.
I can't participate because I live in London.
Ah, bless you.
I'm like, I can't. I'm not I'm just gonna make sense of myself because I'm like I have left Wales.
That's really interesting avenue to take it though. Like, Izzy, you've moved to London. I mean, firstly, are you enjoying it? That's a really important thing. Are you having a great time?
I am, you know. Oh, it's really funny. I think, like, I don't know, like, it's hilarious. I don't know if you had this, Caitlin, but when, like, Welsh people, when you say you live in London, they give you, like, a really, like sympathetic look.
Oh.
Like,
that. Yeah.
Like, oh, God.
London, oh. And it's, like, it's so funny because I'm, like, I am literally, I freaking love it here. Like, I mean, I'm kind of biased. I live in Southeast London, which is really green.
Yeah.
I can kind of, it's not too gentrified where I live. Like it's, there's a lot of parks. Like I there's a sense of like community here that I think that like a lot of parts of London don't have anymore. And for me, it's been incredibly advantageous to my career, but it also hasn't like stalled too much my music career in Wales. But as I said before, like I have two very separate kind of worlds. I mean, I was on the music. I lived in Cardiff for like 4 years, and like I was gigging really, really regularly with a band. I think my main problem for me moving to London has been I don't gig as regularly as I used to now. I can't. You know, I used to gig like basically once a week with my band, The Murmurings, and then you know, now it's basically springtime. Like I have two gigs in at the end of April on the same day. Those are the first two gigs of this year for me because I've been so saturated with directing work and I'm like, which I'm really grateful for. But I think for me, I'm now, I would say I'm more of a musician that puts out music than a gigging musician.
Yeah.
For me, that's kind of what my career is at the moment, just because of the situation that I'm
in. Of course.
I can't gig as much as I'd like.
No, absolutely. I mean, the verse is great that you are doing incredibly well with that direct and avenue, but that's so positive to hear. What you mentioned there, though, of course, with gigs, like personally, I feel like, I mean, especially in South Wales, like I'm really fortunate. I can go, oh, who, if I was like to be a musician, who would I go to? Porter's? I'd go to Alexandra Jones, maybe. Who would I go to? Club or, you know, Sam in the Pub? I feel like there is such, if you needed to know someone, you could find out. It feels much smaller here in Wales. Do you feel like that's kind of an important factor as well, is that you're a small fish in a big pond in London? You can't just kind of, you know, find out from a friend of a friend. Is kind of much more daunting and obviously way more popular. Is it harder for you to kind of go, oh, I want to go gig here, let's just go message a few friends and oh, here we are?
I mean, I live with musicians, so I live with jazz musicians. You might be able to hear my housemate practicing sax upstairs at the moment, but like he's gonna like I live with a drummer and a sax player, and it's really difficult. I know, right?
Don't live with a drummer. Just don't do it yourself.
He's actually amazing, though. To be honest, like the only time is like when he's teach. Like sometimes when he's teaching over Zoom, but he only has like one singular drum, so he's very like respectful.
Okay.
But they really. I mean, it's really interesting. Again, like their experiences. Like it is really tough. And they've been on the scene for like 10 years. It is really hard. It's so, I think in Wales, like, I mean, I'm going to like stop talking about myself, but like, you know, for you both, it's like, you can climb so much quicker, I think, in Wales than you can in England. And I think, especially if you're making Welsh language music, I think, oh my goodness, like, it's so advantageous to be a Welsh language musician in Wales right now.
Yeah, definitely. They sort of like throw money at you if you do stuff in Welsh, which is like really cool and like, as they should. But yeah, like the thing is, it's like, because I'm like Cardiff based, but I've like performed like quite regularly just around like South Wales. It is just like, it's a very close scene and it is very small and it's very easy just to like know everybody so quickly, which then like results in like being able to like gig a lot more regularly. And I think the thing is about it is that like, I personally enjoy being here because I love Wales, I love Cardiff, I love cities like that. I'm quite content here, but I people I talk to when they we talk about like London or whatever, they're like, oh, I don't like London, I don't think I could ever live there. I personally think I could. I just right now just don't think it's the best move for me. I like being close to my family. I know everyone here. You know, there's certain things that I'm like trying to like work on that I feel like I'd just be better doing here than being like miles away in London. Do you know what I mean? Because I got the support network here. But one day I think I'd definitely like to see how it is. I just think the most important thing to know is that you don't have to make it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So how do you feel about that, Fionn? Do you feel like It's obviously there's no end goal, no like set road plan. But for you, say for example, you got into a position where you felt like you had done everything you could in Wales. Like for example, I don't know, you were headlining Green Man, for example, and you were like, right, you know, I'm pretty like done a pretty good stab here at Wales. Do you ever feel like, do you know what? Then maybe I'd consider making a move further into London, or do you feel like, do you know what? No, that's kind of like a real great position for me, and I'll do the odd thing here and there. Again, you don't have to move.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure. I guess like it'd be nice to know that it'd be nice to get to that position. And if I ever did, that like if I wanted to stay in Wales, that I could, you know, still have opportunities elsewhere. But mm-hmm. then I'd just have to learn to drive, really, because that's the biggest barrier at the moment, is like the travel yeah. aspect of it, and finding like people who can drive and stuff like that, because obviously like and stuff around,
and the trains in the Rhondda at the moment,
they are a nightmare. After a nightmare, I got stranded in Newport the other day after a gig. I had to get my friend to come pick me up.
Oh my god,
bad vibes. but yeah, like it's, I don't know, it's, I just think there's such like a, I went to, what was it, the Beacons event a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I watched a panel about how you can like make it without moving to like a big city.
Definitely.
And there was these people who were from like North Wales. So they were talking about like mostly, cause, like I think people feel that way with Cardiff in general as well. Like, so like in Wales and like coming from like a rural area or a small area or just somewhere that's not Cardiff basically or yeah. whatever. Like, people feel like they have to move to Cardiff to be able to like get anywhere, and that's not really the case. And I think it is getting better, because there's more of these organisations are actually, you know, utilising stuff in these rural areas, which is definitely needed, because that's why I moved to Cardiff, because I couldn't see anything there. But now there's so many stuff, there's so many things going on that like you don't really have to move
yeah.
to like a big city, or whether it be Cardiff or London or whatever else. So, like, I think that's a really positive thing. So just it's nice to know now that if you want to stay somewhere, you can, and you can still be successful. But, yeah, because I don't really have any experience with London. I know for people who have moved there and it's really worked out for them, and that's great. I just, like I said, for me at the moment, I just don't think I'm ready for it, maybe one day. But, like, I think it's one of them things, like, I'm afraid, because I'm, like, Cardiff is always going to be there. Like, obviously, yeah. if I move to London, I can always just come back. But there's, yeah. for some reason in my head, I feel like if I move, I'm like, I'm out. Do you know That's what it. I mean?
Can't go back.
yeah.
And amazing. No, really, really good points there. And Caitlin, I'd love to, like, kind of ask you to kind of unpick that single, The Night Bus. But I think you told me it's kind of, it's almost like perfect for this discussion, isn't it?
Yeah. I feel like it's my, is it Catatonia that released a song that was a very similar, like, something like that? I don't know. Yes, it was my kind of falling out of love letter with London, which was sad. I ended up writing a song about it just because you two obviously understand this, and you probably do therapy music, like letting out your feelings, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't really realise how many people felt the same as me. Like, you know, lots of people release songs about love or relationships and things like that. When I released Nightbus, I was literally just going, here's a page in my diary. I feel like rubbish about yeah. how I'm living at the moment. And I don't understand why, because I'm doing all the things that I should be doing to make a success of myself. But I'm so unhappy. I'm always skint.
Mm.
I've never got any money to go and enjoy myself. And when I do, I'm spending hundreds of pounds on like a night out with my friends. So you feel even worse on the hangover the next day. So I just wrote about it because I being a recent graduate and staying in London, I suppose I realized how many creatives especially were trying to do the London thing, and it was like it's been instilled in me from such a young age that A, you've got to be in a city,
yeah,
and B, it's probably London if you're in the UK where you're going to be able to get all the gigs and make all of the money and, you know, network the most. Actually, I could not have experienced more of the opposite.
Like, yeah.
I was working like 40 hours a week in the coffee shop getting paid minimum wage or below what I should have been getting paid. So I had the key, so I was opening up and closing, but I wasn't in a managerial role, all that stuff that we've all done. So yeah, I was doing that and I was finding more and more and more that in the time, in my own spare time, I was drained. I was exhausted. I didn't want to do anything creative because my brain was like fried from work. I had to walk everywhere because there was one point where I literally couldn't afford like a train. I was literally like, oh God. Yeah, it was terrifying. You know, the amount of times my parents, and I'm so aware of my privilege, have just like sent me the odd £100 just to like get me through on top of like the three jobs. Then I ended up being a nanny in North London as well as the coffee shop job. And I was sometimes doing the two things on one day, even though I was based in Putney, which is southwest. Wow. It was insane. And I just had a sudden realization one day after weeks of just being so unhappy and drained and just physically exhausted of going, why am I doing this? Whenever an audition comes through, whenever I'm asked to go and self-tape for something, I haven't got time to do it. I haven't got time to learn the sides. When I go to an audition, I'm exhausted and I'm like on no sleep. And then occasionally I'll go and gig somewhere, but you know, I was very lucky that my friend Jordan, who's been in lots of musical theatre, who's from the Valleys, got me in to sing one night during COVID where they had a graduate night, and I sang in Freedom in Soho, which is the best place in the world, can I just add? It's just so much fun. And they had like this graduate night, and I went and sang like two songs, got paid £50, and had three free drinks on the bar or something, and had a lovely night. So, but that was, in terms of gigs, that was it. Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't in the gig, the like London gig scene, because my band Big Wednesday had split up. So I wasn't really a drummer of a band. Then I was like, well, I released my own music, but then I feel like I'm starting from scratch. But then also for me, as a Welsh person who doesn't speak Welsh, which is, I'm working on that, believe me. I felt out of the loop in terms of, well, if I move back home to Wales, all of my actor friends or actor musical friends who trained in the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama who can speak Welsh, why the hell would a Welsh theatre company cast me in something who can't do any of the promo stuff? I can't get involved in that side of things. I felt the same about gigs then. I was like, well, lots of my Welsh pals are great. They're in Porters. They're in all of these, you know, Live Lounge. My friend Kieran does Live Lounge all the time. And they're all like either Welsh fluent speakers or have just spoken it since they were brought up, blah, blah, blah. So then I was like, well, I can't go back to Wales because I've had about 6 years away from Wales now. So I'm not going to be able to get in there. I don't feel like I'm in London. And I honestly, it was such a strange time for me. And then all of a sudden I got cast in Liverpool Everyman Rock and Roll Panto. I was like, right, I'm off up north. Fuck London. You know, I was like, ugh. And then since then, yeah, I moved back to London. I was paying double rent on my first acting job, which basically meant I wasn't making any money. But hey-ho, it was on the CV. And then I went back to London to finish off my tenancy for 2 months. And it was in those 2 months that I wrote Nightbus and went, I can't do this anymore, actually. I've experienced what it's like to live in a city up north, which is way cheaper and beautiful. And Liverpool was such a blast. Arguably, I was happier because I was doing what I loved as well. And I wasn't serving coffee to really posh people. No offense, Richmond, but very, very lovely posh people. And then I moved home to Wales because my family were like, come home. You don't have to pay rent. It's like, oh, cheers.
Say less.
but then as soon as I moved home, I got cast in Operation Julie with Theatre Nanog, which are a Welsh company, really. And I don't think they realised I didn't speak Welsh. So one of my characters was a fluent Welsh speaker, and I just learned. I was like, this isn't good enough, Caitlin. You better start learning Welsh. So I learned it for that and have continued to try and learn since then. Much slower when I'm not surrounded by it, but it's like I'm chugging away constantly. And then since that, I got introduced to all of these actor musos who were in the Welsh scene. And then before you know it, they all gig in these places. Yeah. You know, Sean Russell Jones is Angel Hotel. He gigs all around Cardiff all the time. Kieran Bailey's a musical director and writers and stuff. So, yeah, okay, I feel like I've kind of slotted back in a little bit to the Welsh scene, but it's really difficult to know where is best to be. It's so tough.
That's it. There really is no right answer. I mean, we could argue all day, couldn't we? There is no right answer. One thing I really kind of resonated with what you said there, of course, family, you know, having that I think you mentioned as well, Fiona, is that support network that, you know, if you went to London, you might possibly lose out on. But Izzy, you know, how have you felt with that? I mean, you made that big move. How was it losing that support network? Did you feel like you lost it, or you just regained it when you were there?
It's been so funny. I was literally talking to someone about this on the weekend. Like, as someone who moved there, and again, like, I really want to, like, tag on to what Caitlin was saying. Like, Caitlin as an actor has going to have such a different experience to me as a director moving to London.
Definitely.
Whereas, like, myself, I've literally doubled my income moving
Amazing.
To London. Like, and that's the truth of it, because there's just more work for directors, because
yeah.
I can teach in drama schools. That's been an amazing revelation to me. Like, there's only Royal Welsh College, really, that will kind of, like, give you a good, like, chunk of money to do, like, a freelance project with students. Whereas in the last year, I worked at Guildhall, Rose Bruford, Lambda, Arts Ed, and UEL. So I worked at five education places directing. But that has been one of my main sources of income that, like, just didn't have had the opportunity in Wales. So I'm just very aware of that. And then in terms of support network, what's been really magical for me as a director is I have, for the first time, I think I had really good director friends in Wales and on the Welsh scene, but I've made loads more friends who are, like, incredible directors who come from such different, like, backgrounds to me. Like, you know, my friend, like, Debbie Hannon is from Glasgow and has just directed, like, a show called Sound of the Underground by Travis Alabanza. My friend Philip Morris creates work for Black men and mental health, and, like, it's like this really radical stuff that he's doing in the National Theatre. My friend Millie Battia has just been touring America with her show 7 Methods of Killing Kylie Jenner. And all these people, like, they are really good mates of mine, but they also, like, inspire me so much as creatives. And I've never felt so inspired by my peers than I do now in London, especially directors that are in the same age bracket as me. It's like, it's so cool going to see your friend's work and being like, oh my God, I'm so inspired by what you're doing. Like, it's so exciting. And I think that's that thing of, it's interesting in London, because I think also because there's more jobs and there's more opportunities, there's less of that fighting for work. Whereas as a director, I was always fighting, trying to find work. It was so hard. I nearly gave up being a director before I got the job at the Royal Court. Like, I was literally gonna throw in the towel because I was like, I just was getting employed to do the complex outreach work. I was never getting commissioned. I'd always have to self-fund to put my own plays on. So the Royal Court was really like last shot in the dark. Let's see how it goes, lads. But, you know, whereas with music, I feel you have a lot more, there's a lot more kind of a space for you to, like, make the gigs yourself, you know, but I felt very much at the behest of, like, the Welsh Institute to give me directing work. Whereas that has changed. That's changed now. You know, I feel like I am employed as a director in both Wales and in London, but it's taken an English institution to see something in me, to employ me, for that shift to happen in my career.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, amazing. Now, thank you for that, Izzy. And Fionn, like, of course, that kind of crux of that question came from what you said earlier. How much of a, like, a decision maker is it for you that you have that support network in Wales? Like, do you feel like, we're talking a lot about career, but for you is kind of like, I couldn't possibly make that move right now because you've got your family, your friends, you know, professional friends as well. Do you know what I mean? How much of an important factor for you is that in the move?
I think at the moment it's very important because the last like year and a bit, probably a bit longer, like, I've been really, like, struggling mentally and stuff like that. And I've been trying to get, like, diagnosis for different things. So, like, I feel like a lot of my personal, like, creative journey has been a bit stunted due to that. And then obviously, like, having people that I already know, I find it quite easy to go into a space, like a gig or, you know, any sort of, like, music event and be like, oh, people know me. And, you know, like, I've done the work already networking, like, the last few years. So, like, I'm already there. So when I talk to new people who are, like, entering the scene, say, like, people are like, oh, look, you're doing really well and blah, blah, blah. And in my head, because I always feel like I'm doing the worst job ever, it's very validating. So I think that's what I kind of enjoy. And I feel like, and even though I say that, there's many times where I don't feel that way because of, like, my, like, personal stuff, which again, it probably is just in my head. And I do worry that if I was to make the move to, like, London or anywhere else, that, like, I would immediately lose that and feel so lonely, and I just don't think I'd be able to handle it at this moment in time. But like, I don't know, like I know a couple of people in London, and I feel like, I think for me, like, because like I've unless I was to study in London, I can't see me like moving there just like on my own, so not really knowing anyone. I could, and it'd probably be fine, but I don't know, in my head it just feels it's very daunting at the moment. Because like sometimes I think, oh my God, I'd love to just like go somewhere fresh, like meet new people and see what happens.
Definitely.
But if there's a chance that I might not be successful in like making those connections and friends, I don't know how well I'd be able to cope. So it's like, it's that for me. It's like, that's more of like a personal thing, which I'm sure a lot of people relate to. But I think it is really important having like a strong support network. And I think if you are going to make a big move like that, is keeping in contact with those people, like on the phone or whatever, and just making sure that like you've got people to fall back on and not feeling like alone. But yeah, it's kind of it's a weird one.
Yeah, no, I totally relate to that. I, like I say, moved to London only earlier this year, and I'm already back. And it made me realize just kind of like how much I personally relied upon my own personal network. Do you know what I mean? I was so comfortable and nonchalant, honestly, about like kind of, oh, I've got my girlfriend here, my family here, my mates are all here. And only when I moved, I realized, do you know what? They were a massive, massive part for my kind of, you know, my whole self. Do you know what I mean? They were just a massive part of it. Hey, Caitlin, of course, you've got the amazing luxury to come back to family here in Wales. And again, how important was that for you to have your family back here? Did you miss them, your friends? Was that a hard thing? Or was it more like financially and creatively, you felt like you would just be more successful in Wales?
I just think that I was at such a point of unhappiness that I think at very least I realised that I'm so glad that I had my friends in London around me telling me like, you need to go home, you need to reset. I was just worn out. I was just exhausted, I think, creatively, financially, everything. I was just tired of the slog of the city and like just seeing the worst of it because of my situation. Because I love London. I spent 5 years of my life there. I've got all my friends are there. I wouldn't take back drama school for anything. It was the best 3 years ever. I mean, it wasn't as well, because drama school's hard. Second year in particular is a nightmare. But I wouldn't take it back because it's made me who I am and it's given me a thick skin. But it was a massive thing. I know you just talked a little bit about, like, I suppose, mental health. It's a huge thing for me to reword it, because I was telling people, like, oh, I'm giving up on London. I'm giving up on London. What does that even mean? Like, I only saw it like that because I'd been told that it was where I had to be to make a success. So I almost felt like I was giving up creating anything. It's like I felt like I was giving up, but every part of what that could mean, like career, financial stuff, everything. I felt like I was just going back to square one. Turns out I wasn't. I'm having a fab time. I might go back one day. Like when I released Nightbus, I remember saying on like a social media post, this isn't an I hate London song. Mm-hmm. Please don't think that. It's not. It's just a not right now. I've seen the worst of a city that I thought was going to make me, and it's done the opposite, in fact. And I think actually, you know, if I, like what Izzy was saying, if I did go back, now I know it would be because I've been employed in a London theatre, or I'm going back to record an album or an EP, not an album, but yeah. Or a single, that's even better, a single. Or I'm going back to gig, you know, I'm going back to do a session drumming gig, which I did the other day. And it's so much fun because I've got money to go back and I can actually enjoy it for what it is. I see the best bits of it and then I go, bye. I'm going back to my family and my niece and my grandparents and Welsh prices for things, which is really nice. But, you know, in 5-10 years' time, when I've saved a bit of money and I'm potentially, good Lord, touch wood, in the National Theatre doing something, or I don't know, like, you know, manifest, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I'd love it then, and maybe I'd choose to stay, because I love the convenience of it. I love how many gigs you can get if you want them. I love that, like what Izzy was saying again, the people you meet and the different, you know, it really makes you question some of the things that you were taught growing up or that you assumed about people. And it makes you a more rounded person, I think, when you're in contact with all those new ideas and new philosophies and creative ideas and spaces and, you know. But yeah, it's for now, I'm happy where I am and I want to try and do Cardiff a bit.
Absolutely.
Or,
absolutely.
You know, that's the only thing I would say about where I live. I'm lucky that I drive and my dad's got an old banger that I'm on the insurance. You know,
happy
I'm
days.
Very lucky that that is a thing.
Yeah.
Because I swear to God, if I was relying on public transport, and again, even to get me to and from Cardiff for a gig, it would be an absolute nightmare. I'd have to ask lifts of people just because of times. I mean, you can't get back from Cardiff to the one for now at past 7 because they're doing something to the line that's going to take 5 years. It's not the time to be, you know, here, actually. It's not. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I say here, I'm actually in Nottingham at the moment, but you know what I mean.
Of course, of course. oh, no, amazing. And Caitlin and Fionn, you know, both, you know, very happy and content where you are right now in Wales. But I mean, Izzy, I mean, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but I imagine you're quite happy in London. I can imagine you might stay there at least for a few years, right? Like, is this the foreseeable for you?
It's like, yeah, it is. And it's so funny. I mean, like, it's hilarious. I was talking because I, over the weekend, I saw like who I call my music wives, which is Molly McBreen and Edith Crawford, who I write music with. And like, and Edith literally asked me, she was like, do you literally get like butterflies when you roll into Paddington? And I was like, I do now, because I don't know, London's been so good to me in a way that Wales frankly wasn't. And in terms of my career, and I feel so like, it's so interesting. It's like, I've built like a more, like my reputation on the London scene has been as a director again. And I have to make that distinction because my music career has really taken off in the last 3 years in a Welsh language context back in Wales. So it's been a really weird, it's like a weird thing. And over summer, it was weird because I was doing so much at the Eisteddfod and I was like, should I move back? Because I was like, I literally have just not seen my house for like weeks. But then I'm like, actually, financially, this city enables me to have the career that I've always dreamt of. And I really do feel like all I ever wanted was to make music that was respected and to make and to direct. So I feel personally I am living the dream, and like, it's hard work. I'm exhausted all the time, but like, being here where I am is perfect. And I'm so blessed that I can go back to Machynlleth and get like, I'm literally going next week. And like, because I come from such rural area, I can get a really intense rural fix when I need to.
Complete polar opposites.
I was yet to, you know, like, even though it's like a long ass journey, I'm like, if I need it, if I need to be like, I need the countryside, I know I can just go there. So that's another, I feel very privileged in that regard as well, you know.
Absolutely. And for you then, Izzy, of course, being from Machynlleth, do you feel like, was there ever a decision in your mind to move to Cardiff, like this whole big city move, for example? Was it Cardiff, oh, how about London? Or was it always for you, is like, you know what, London just makes more sense for me career-wise?
No, I moved to Cardiff first. So I moved to Cardiff in beginning of 2016, for an unpaid internship at the Other Room Theatre as an assistant director. Ended up being an ASM, being paid $150 a week. I was homeless for 3 weeks. I literally was like living on, it was crazy. I basically finished my MA in London, done an MA in applied theatre, then lived on a commune outside of Machynlleth for 3 months because I was like, I just kind of was like, I want to just get out of the family home or just live in a commune for 3 months. So I did that. And then I just moved to Cardiff and was just like, and you know, like for an unpaid internship, and took like a massive risk. And it was like, and then just slowly. So I've been used to going into cities and starting from literally nowhere. I mean, when I moved to Cardiff, I was literally homeless and on job seekers. Like, it was like starting from the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, so I, again, like moving to London, I was like, well, I was like, girl, you've been here before. So here we go.
Can't get worse.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. I mean, thank you all for those amazing, you know, contributions. I mean, please, you know, if you've got any passing words, any final words, please do add them. But I really want to take this final opportunity to kind of share about you guys. Do you have any exciting projects on the horizons. You're all very talented women. And if please, if there's anything that you've got coming up on the horizons, Fionn, I'm not sure if there's any Fox Club project or anything coming up, any gigs, please do by all means shout about them.
Will do. I've got a gig actually on the 6th of April at the Moon in Cardiff. If anyone is listening and is able to make it, if that goes out before then. And also I'm working on my EP. So it's been a long time coming, but I'm trying to do things like at my own pace and not like put too much pressure on myself. So I'll have a single coming up very soon. And I'm playing In It Together Festival in May. So I'm very excited for that.
Oh, amazing, amazing. Well, best of luck for all of that. And finally, by no means least, of course, any exciting thing you've got coming up?
Edith and I, we literally yesterday recorded all of my verses and we did sketches for our next EP, which we're hoping is going to come out in June or July. And it's so exciting because it's such that kind of second album thing of like, I think we made our first EP was quite commercial actually, and quite like sweet sounding pop music. And we're writing some really dark shit for the next EP. And it's like, it's really like me kind of, I feel I'm really sort of pushing myself as a rapper, but also like we're really pushing ourselves as like to make music that's actually a lot more complex, a lot more kind of unusual sounding. We're doing like really weird vocal sampling and stuff like that. So that's so exciting. We've got a gig at Mach Comedy Festival on the 30th of April, and we're then headlining Club Bivar Bach on the same day. So wild time. And then me and Molly have a gig in May at Bank Vaults in Aberystwyth as the Murmurings. And then in terms of like theatre, like, well, directing stuff, I'm going to be filming a music video for my single Guide, which I'm really excited about, which is I'm directing it and I'm in it, which is going to be interesting. And I'm getting all of like my family members involved, which I'm really excited about.
Hobloch both. Absolutely amazing, amazing opportunities coming up there. So best of luck for all of them.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Amplify. Stories about youth music in Wales is produced by Anthem Cronfagerdd Cymru Music Fund Wales, creating a Wales in which music can empower every young life. Amplify is produced by Tori Silman, Connor Morgans and Rian Hutchins, with voiceovers by Tori Silman, studio production by Connor Morgans, music by Blankface and original concept by Ify Iwobi. Find out more about Anthem at www.anthem.wales.